Chapter 3. Living Your Goodbye. I think you should just call this lady and ask her. I could see Charlene was very excited as she pointed to the listing on the internet page flickering on an old computer screen. It had been 4 years since I had managed to treat my family to a holiday at the sea. During that week, I had been able to sense the longing in my dear wife's heart for a change of scenery. For those 4 years, she had worked hard, without complaining, at schooling our 2 daughters at home and also working with me on all of the ministry activities our church life required. Although she always remained cheerful, she had said to me at the breakfast table one morning with a fake pout, "I want to go to the sea." I had ached and smiled at her, and squeezing her hand desired more than anything in that moment to be able to do it. That week, I had worked in my office unsettled, trying to work out how I could possibly treat her to a holiday at the sea. Charlene was such a grateful wife. She would get excited about the smallest of things, knowing they were gestures of kindness. How she appreciated even a cup of coffee. To see her cute smile reaching all the way to her friendly blue eyes was worth any effort anyone made for her. To take her to the sea, I knew, was the ultimate temporal gift. It was a Saturday morning. I poured out my heart before the Lord, asking Him please to allow me the opportunity to take my family down to the coast for a break. Like any father who loves his family, I wanted wonderful family experiences that would form lasting memories. I knew that the plan I had conjured up in my mind was a little on the reckless side, yet my desire to lavish blessings on my family had become even greater at the end of such a long stretch. I packed up my computer in my office and went inside the house. There stood my beautiful wife smiling at me to welcome me as if it were a special occasion. She always made it clear that she was happy to see me, even if I'd worked late or if I was just coming in for a meal or to pick up something I'd forgotten to take with me. "What brings you in so early?" she asked, smiling before hugging me with a kiss. I smiled back at her, knowing what I was about to say. Putting my computer bag down on the floor, I put my arms around her and whispered in her ear, "Would you like to go to the sea?" Her response was instant. She knew me well enough to know that I would never joke with her about something like that. She instantly knew I was serious. She bounced on the tips of her toes like a little girl at an ice cream shop. "Yes, yes, yes." "Shh," I said playfully, with big eyes, placing my right pointing finger over her lips. I looked around the room with teasing, exaggerated caution, as if I were a secret agent avoiding detection. "Don't let the kids find out," I whispered in her ear. She nodded mischievously with her teeth clenched in a broad smile and followed me to the computer the girls used for their schoolwork. In lowered voices, we discussed our options. I didn't tell Charlene how I was going to have to stretch the budget to make this holiday happen, but she knew it was an unusual privilege I was planning to pursue. We spent most of that Saturday morning looking for last-minute accommodation at the coast, something we could afford. Hours crept by. Our initial excitement faded as we scrolled through the prices, unable to find anything that was even close to the maximum figure we would be able to spend. For years, Charlene and I had dreamed about spending a holiday in a new set of holiday apartments at our favorite beach, Uvongo. We had watched them build those apartments as we spent previous holidays nearby and had consoled each other, half humorously, "One day we will stay there." As I clicked with the mouse on link after link, these particular apartments surfaced in our search, yet the price was, as we had expected, double what we were able to spend. Other places where we may have gone otherwise were fully booked. Hope faded, and so did my original surge of spontaneity. "I think you should just call this lady," Charlene said to me, pointing at one of the open tabs in Internet Explorer. I eventually called, only to show that I respected my wife's advice rather than because I thought there was any chance of success. She had set her eye on one of the apartments in the building we had set our hearts on for so long. I knew that if all the other apartments were between 2 and 4 times our budget, this one would be no exception. But I called anyway, much to her delight. Nicole answered my call cheerfully. When I explained what I was planning, she was immediately happy to help me. To our even greater amazement, she offered that very apartment to us at the rate I had set as a maximum figure. We could afford it. Charlene could tell by the tone in my conversation with Nicole that this could really happen. So on Saturday, at about midday, I ended the call and smiled at my sweet wife, who had waited so long and so patiently and so contentedly for this moment. "I have an idea, honey," I said, embracing her and looking down into her excited blue eyes. "Yes," she retorted playfully. "What is your idea?" I whispered the words, "Let's go to the sea tomorrow," again looking around to make sure the girls couldn't hear me. She smiled broadly, nodding her head as if by that gesture it would all remain real, and it worked. The very next day, Nicole was waiting for us upon our arrival after 9 hours on the road. Her warm welcome will remain among my most cherished memories. For 2 weeks, our family was in paradise, living in an apartment that overlooked the breaking waves of the KwaZulu-Natal south coast. We slept with tall glass doors flung open, the sea breeze cooling us in that hot March weather. Not a shadow passed over that idyllic vacation. Toward the end of that vacation, I again succumbed to a further temptation to treat my family. Not far from where we were staying was a stretch of coastline called the Wild Coast, situated in the Transkei. A stone's throw from the Transkei border, a well-known hotel and casino group has operated a facility for years. Apart from their golf course and their casino, one of their major attractions is their Wild Waves water park. They spend many millions of dollars importing high-quality features from foreign destinations, making it a water park unlike any I have ever encountered. So, one sunny morning, we paid our entrance fee and found ourselves surrounded by an array of enticing water rides. From one to the next, amid the screams of delighted children, we climbed and skied and splashed ourselves to our heart's content. Toward the end of the day, Charlene and I found ourselves floating in a double tube, face to face, on the lazy river. We bobbed upon the gentle swells, drifting slowly in the yellowing rays of the setting south coast sun. We talked from time to time, but for much of that meander, we kept catching each other's eye. We smiled at one another, but didn't look away. In a strange way, there was nothing left to say. She understood me, and I understood her. She was content. I was content. All of the happiness of nearly 2 decades of satisfying married life culminated in those wonderful moments. Yes, it was an outstanding treat to be enjoying that much desired holiday, yet our mutual contentment came from far more than that experience. It flowed from a lifestyle of contentment. In those moments, looking at my beautiful wife's blue eyes, I felt a sense of finality, something like the end of an engaging novel with a happy ending. We enjoyed the lazy river so much that at the conclusion of our journey, we turned and did it again, and then again. We were living in a state of goodbye. If either of us had died at that moment, there wouldn't have been words we would have wanted to squeeze out as the light faded from the other's eyes. Everything had been said, and said well, long before the time. Working as a paramedic during our first few years of marriage, I had been so impacted by the tragic loose ends fluttering around the deaths of loved ones. Young men and women, children, grandparents, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters facing the sudden death of those they clung to in love. How many times did I hear sorrowing family members and friends lament that they had not even had the opportunity to say goodbye? How many sentiments had been left unspoken? How many of those people died shortly after an argument and had stormed out in a rage and had been killed on the road or in a drunken brawl? Loose ends. Loose ends. Loose ends. They galled me and drove me to my wife in love after long heartless shifts. I remember the day when I eventually sat down with Charlene and explained how sickened I was with these galling loose ends. I urged her to make a commitment to me that I too would make to her, that if either one of us died in a sudden, unexpected way, we would leave no loose ends. We would leave nothing unsaid. We would have already said goodbye. We would each know that in the face of death, we would not be in a state of panic because there were things we still needed to explain to each other. We lived in a state of goodbye. Today, 9 months after her death, I can't even begin to explain the value of living in a state of goodbye. With my left hand, I held her hand as I gripped the steering wheel with my right, racing through the night over a dirt road toward a distant hospital. "Honey," I said as she gasped for air more and more rapidly, "I'm so sorry you're struggling." She smiled. Then a little later, I squeezed her hand, my heart yearning to help her. "I love you, honey." She smiled again. And even though she was in such distress, she smiled back, "I love you too." Moments later, she arrested, dying with her hand in mine. In those horrible moments, there was no time or opportunity to say things that had been left unsaid, had there been any. Yet we had already said our goodbyes over the years that led up to her departure. As I brought the car to a halt to establish whether she was truly dead or not, I knew that I had nothing left to say. It had already been said. The moments after her death turned to minutes, hours, days, weeks, and months. Through the blackness of mourning, it has been the fact that we lived in a state of goodbye that has brought me immense comfort.